Welcome to the Revital Health Podcast, where we explore the exciting intersection of modern science, ancestral wisdom, and personalized health optimization. I'm your host, Jodi DeVal, naturopath, integrative medicine expert, and founder of Revital Health Clinic in Perth, Western Australia. Each episode, we'll dive deep into cutting-edge therapies, groundbreaking research, and practical strategies to help you live your best life, having plenty of fun along the way. Whether you're keen to supercharge your energy, balance your hormones, or discover the latest biohacking trends, you've come to the right place. If you love what you hear, don't forget to like, subscribe, and follow so you never miss a moment with world-leading experts and game-changing insights. It's time to unlock your full health potential. Let's go! We acknowledge that the Revital Health Podcast is recorded on the unceded lands of the Whadjuk Noongar people of the Noongar Nation, Borloo. We recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture and pay our respects to Noongar elders past and present. Welcome back, everyone. In this episode, I am joined by Dr. Nayan Patel, clinical pharmacist, founder of Oro Wellness, and author of The Glutathione Revolution. Now, this is such a powerful conversation because we move through two areas that are often spoken about separately, but are deeply connected: hormone health and glutathione. We explore why hormone therapy should never be approached as a one-size-fits-all prescription, why numbers on a pathology report are only one part of the picture, and why the real goal is not simply to optimize a level, but to support the body towards better function, resilience, and long-term outcomes. Dr. Patel brings such a clear and grounded perspective from decades in compounding pharmacy, personalized medicine, and glutathione research. We talk about the confusion around HRT, the role of progesterone, estrogen, testosterone, cortisol, insulin, and thyroid in the bigger hormone picture, and why lifestyle, stress, nutrition, and oxidative load have to be part of this conversation. So then we dive into glutathione, what it does, why it matters for detoxification, cellular aging, immune resilience, hormone metabolism, and oxidative stress, and why delivery is such a critical part of the discussion. So this episode is for anyone interested in hormones, longevity, personalized medicine, cellular health, and the deeper foundations of health optimization. As always, this is educational conversation and not individual medical advice, but we explore what is the possibilities. Please work, obviously, with your own practitioners before making any changes to your medications, hormones, or supplement protocols. So let's dive in. Welcome to the show, Revital Health Podcast, and I am so, so happy to have you on here. You are a superstar in the glutathione world, and we are here to talk about a little bit of that. We always bring back to glutathione because I think it's really, really important, as do you. But today we're going to be talking about hormones, and we're going to explore the world of hormones and through what has been happening in the media, social media, dare say TikTok, even though I don't have an account and I don't look at TikTok. There is a lot more, and I think it can be a very good thing for men and women to be aware of what hormone levels we should have, how we should feel, and therefore the information on how to access and how to test and how to look at the best ways of what we should be doing in terms of hormone health. So welcome, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me here today. Appreciate the time and appreciate the invite. So we definitely want to conquer some of those basics on the hormone replacement therapy affecting hormone health, affecting glutathione and their reserves. And I want to basically make sure people, by the end of this recording, I want people to understand what they can do with their own health, because they have to become the CEO of their own health in order for them to feel better. And we are just here, you and me, we are just here to give them the information to so they can take control of their own health. So thanks for having me
really,
over here.
As you said, it's so important that we actually have that empowerment towards our own health. And And what I find is that there is now a saturation of information. So it's about where do I go to get the information that's not going to A, waste my time or misguide me and take me in the wrong direction so that I'm not, you know, that I know exactly that this is the right piece of information for me. So this is why I have this podcast, because I choose and I make sure that on the podcast, I've got the quality guests giving us the quality information. So yeah, I really appreciate your time. Yeah. So firstly, every podcast is not complete without an introduction of your story. So how did you land in this wonderful, beautiful space of wellness, health, medical, and, you know, pushing the edges on healthcare?
My goodness. So, you know, I wish I had a different path. My original path was to become engineering path, aeronautics, electricals, and space adventures and things like that. You know, every young kid that grew up in this Asian or African continent had the same dream to conquer the space. Now, they can't even conquer the world. They want to conquer the space, right? That was my dream myself. I quickly realized that was going to be really hard. I pivoted to become a pharmacist because my counselor said, hey, you have a knack for critical thinking and you're really thinking outside the box. I think you'll be really good for medicine. I said, okay, I'll explore the idea. And after that, the rest is history. But being a pharmacist in the United States, it's all we did was manage people's problems. We never actually solved anybody's problems. We just managed people's problems. And when I first realized that was about a year after graduation, I was working in a pharmacy and trying to fill prescriptions and helping people. And one day it just dawned on me that all I'm doing is managing people's problems. And the problems are never going to go away because we don't work on getting rid of the problem. So that's the day I decided, no more. I quit the job. I done with it. Got into my own pharmacy and really started to make customized medications called compounding. And the very first thing that led to me was HRT or hormone replacement therapy. Again, back in 1996, nobody was interested at that time. It was very difficult for me. But I started doing that process. And the story is, I started doing it. There were only like less than 10 people in the whole state of California, which is the number one most progressive state in the United States that has the most amount of compounding pharmacy. And there were only 10 of us in the whole state, and two of them were my pharmacy. So that's why I started. I started attracting a lot of high-end clientels, and everybody asked me one question. Chandra Patel, do you have something for longevity medicine? At that time, they used to call anti-aging medicine, right? That's what they want. Do you have something for anti-aging medicine? I said, I got hormones to make you feel better. I said, well, that's not going to help me from dying. I said, well, maybe the concept was wrong. And so from anti-aging medicine went to integrative medicine, to functional medicine, to eventually today, it's a longevity medicine. Early 2000s, I started working on peptides because at that time, we used to call hormones. The hypothalamic hormones, the pituitary hormones, they are hormones. They're called hormones, but they're actually peptides. So I started working on that peptide. And of course, the most popular peptide in the world, in the universe, is glutathione. And so my whole research started back in early 2000s to work on glutathione. And today we're talking about this today is because I think I've spent 30 years of my life learning from how to make people better and how to avoid people from dying. And I think we can do both. There's a way we can do both. So hey, brace yourself. Let's get into it.
Absolutely.
I think that's what I want to talk about.
And I love the term longevity now and how that as because it's the quality of the life that we're living and the absence of disease while we're living, isn't it? So, you know, that's the key part of it is, you know, living until you're 90, but still being able to run and jump and get off the floor and, you know, laugh and do whatever activity you feel like you need to get out of bed. You know, some people can't even do that at those ages. So I think that's the capture, the nature of what we should be aiming for. And all of this is to get us to that point. So absolutely. Wow, hasn't peptides taken off recently? You know, even in Australia, and I know it's always been huge in the US, but in the last year, I feel like it's just exploded into, social media, I guess, you know, into the public eye. Yeah, so finally it's getting recognition. But again, it's like it's going to have a wavering of what's going to happen within that time. So, you know, you're an early adopter and a learner, and you've been pushing this for some time. So you're probably just sitting there going, gosh, it's about time everyone coming on board with all this. Yeah.
Well, yes and no. Yes and no. I've been through a lot of ups and downs in my life. I used to have the weight loss medication went up and down and up and down. And the latest fad right now is the GLP-1s for weight loss. It's an amazing results people are seeing. And there's a massive number of people worldwide using these products everywhere to lose weight. But here's my big old but, is at what cost? And the cost is really, really high at this point. People don't realize that part, because we can help you lose weight, but if you do not change your habits and put this nutritious food back into your body, really what you're doing is you're starving your organs of nutrition that is necessary for you to survive. And so while you're losing weight, you're really getting unhealthy, to a point where I've seen organ failures, I have organ removals, I have people die from it. And it's all because people are not willing to change the habits.
Yeah.
So it's all good. People are talking about it, but I want to make sure people understand that, hey, until it's been proven and safe, you use it for the right reason to what? One thing, gain control of the body. Once you gain control, let the drug go. Let the medication go, and you take charge of your body and do the right thing for what's necessary.
Still coming in, and they are quite unwell, and there's still a miseducation around all of these, and it is very dangerous, as you have seen, and I've also seen. It can have some huge consequences, and I think when we expect to not have the effort put in, any quick way always comes at a cost, and I think that is definitely what we, and their tools, you know, and plus all the rest of the peptides, as you know, we'll talk briefly maybe soon, but they are a tool. It's a signal. It's not the answer. We have to still put effort in to be able to get action and results. So yeah, no, I'm right there with you, Nan. You know, talking about this and the personalization, you know, massive fan of this. Obviously, I do a lot of compounding in my practice. I love that, you know, we make sure that we're personalizing for the person in front of us, and that they are getting exactly what they want. It's not one size fits all. And so from hormone perspective, this is an absolute must, because everyone has different levels of hormones. And so let's explore this. You know, what hormones do we have as an option? What are we looking at for hormone balancing? Where do you see the context of how we can use hormones to support our health? At what age? When should we start? So let's discover a little bit more.
All right. So we got to differentiate between two groups, males and females. Males, I want to make sure people understand that part, is there's a gradual decline of testosterone as a very slow decline over years. And by the time you figure out that your low testosterone levels and has impacted your ability to gain muscle mass or to gain to have bone health better, have better prostate health, better brain health, better heart health, all those things, by the time you realize that you lost the ability, it's about 10 to 15 years too late. So early diagnosis is a critical portion. And the early diagnosis does not mean hormone replacement therapy. It means to avoid what's depleting your hormones in the first place. So that's about testosterone for men. I'll leave it up to that part, because, I mean, there's all these tools available today to test and treat if you have to. But by the time you test and you find low deficiency of testosterone levels, you're about 10 to 15 years late. So I want to make people understand that, hey, don't wait for the test to come out negative to make a change today. So the changes are going to be working on your diet, nutrition, sleep patterns, making sure you're not taking products in your supplements or your vitamins or even in your food that is actually depleting the hormones in the first place. So I want to make sure that that part. On the female side is a whole different story because females, God made them just perfect.
Complex,
right?
Perfect.
That's a real, I like to think that way because as soon as the puberty hits, right, the females are for the very first time are basically start experiencing cycles. And the cycle is what the issue is. It's not the hormone levels are declining as you age, but the body, the way the its creation is happening is that the females have a cycle every month. It's only one reason to procreate. It's just to have babies. And if you don't have babies, the body's gonna prepare yourself to get pregnant. If you don't get pregnant, the body's going to let everything go and start the process again. It's month in, month out from the age of 10, 15, 18 years of age until 45, 50, 60 sometimes, until you go into menopause. So that time span that you're cycling is only for one reason, for procreation. So that cycles is what we are trying to manage. We're not trying to replace hormones. What we are trying to do is trying to achieve a cycle that is kind of normal. So for that reason, if you're very young, if you're a 13, 14-year-old girl that just had the puberty and just had a cycle for the very first time, and you're having all these hormonal challenges, so to speak, because the body's just going through a major turmoil. And so for that reason, I mean, again, we have so many different hormones to deal with it, but our job is not to deal with all the hormones. Our job is trying to figure out, say, hey, is there maybe one or two things I can do to kind of push them in a sort of a balance? And if I can push them in the balance, everything else falls into place. And so for the young patients, what they're experiencing usually is too much of estrogens, because estrogen is everything for women. Estrogen helps you for follicle stimulating hormones, so FSH goes up high to make sure the eggs have been released, right? The estrogen also helps build up the endometrium lining, so make sure that if you do get pregnant, that the lining is thick enough to sustain the pregnancy. So estrogen is like a lifeline. You got to have it. But what happens is that in order to have too much of estrogen, your body also produces progesterone to counterbalance it. So in the absence of pregnancy, the progesterone level starts rising up a little bit higher, and then it lets go. When it lets go, you have the bleeding for the first 4 to 5 days and make sure that everything is cleaned up and you're ready for the next month again. What happens is that the progesterone sometimes does not rise. Now, you can take anti-estrogen pills to reduce estrogen levels low, but the issue is not the estrogen. The issue is not having enough progesterone. So making sure the balancing is done correctly, having that knowledge on which hormones to pull or push, right? I always give an example of a seesaw. When I was a young kid, I used to play seesaw, right? You need two people to play seesaw. You can't just play by yourself, right? One person goes up, one person goes down. Like, it's just going up and down all the time. Now, if you're on the bottom, right, you're going to push yourself to go up, and the other person goes down, right? The other person, if you're on the top, you can literally pound yourself down and you can raise the other person up high as well. Either way, you can do that part. So the question is, which one are you going to choose? Are you going to push from the top to bottom to raise the other person, or are you going to push from the bottom to bring the other person down? Either way, you get the same results. But here's the thing. If you give the control to the person on the floor to push it up higher, you can control at what pace you can go up and down. That, to me, is the most critical part. Because if you're the top, if you press really hard, you can literally bounce somebody off. And I've done this before myself, but I'm a younger brother, so you know what you do. You pound really hard, and the brother just flies off the seesaw. So you can do that too. That's what we do in medicine. We as a pharmacist, as a physicians, we are trying to push the hormone levels that we think is going to be right, instead of asking the body, I said, hey, which one hormone can I give you that you're going to feel not threatened and you're going to work with it and get yourself in balance? To me, that's a progesterone hormone. So I usually work, if you are still cycling and not in menopause yet, I'll try my very best to see if I can bring the balance back to you with just progesterone only. Sometimes I have to use DHEA. Sometimes I have to use estrogens, both estradiol, estriol, probably not estrone. Sometimes I have to use testosterone in females as well. But I do whatever it takes to get the balancing back. But here's the bigger piece in that. The hormones, the sex hormones, we haven't gone to the menopause yet, by the way, so we're going to get there next. But here's the thing. When we talk about sex hormones are actually only 10% of the total solution or 10% of the total problems. You can look at it either way, half glass empty or half glass full. Either way, it's only 10% of the total solution of the problem. If it's a pyramid, the bottom of the pyramid, which is the 40% of the solution or the problem, is cortisol, which is your stress hormones, which is how we deal with stressors. Well, I can't get rid of stressors. I have to do this. I have to do that. I am married. I have kids. I have parents. I cannot get rid of every single thing. Well, I'm not telling you what to do or what not to do. I'm just telling you that's 40% of the solution of the problem. How you deal with it, how you maintain that. The next 30% of the solution or the problem, whichever you look at it, is insulin, your diet. Wait a second. 70% is in your head. If you're willing to come 70% to me, that, hey, I'll do my part. Doc, can you do your part? Yes, I will do my part. The next 20% is thyroid. I'll fix your thyroid. Next 10% is sex hormones, estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, DHEA, all those combined. I'll do my part, but you got to come do your part, which is managing your diet and managing your stress. And there are two types of stressors, right? Which is adrenal gland stress, which we talked about, is mental stress and psychosomatic stress and environmental stressors. And then there's oxidative stress, which is what we're talking about, glutathione, which is the master of every single thing, which is your body's filling from inside. You breathe oxygen every single day. Your body is producing this oxygen-free species. They are very reactive, and those can cause damage to your body, and that level starts increasing as you age. So that stress is always going to be there. How well you manage that, how well you manage your mental stressors, if that comes down, your diet gets improved, that's 70% of the solution is right there. So, and that doesn't matter if you're a 13-year-old or you're an 80-year-old person. So age has nothing to do with that part. That is, everybody gets to manage that part on their own, right? Then you start going into post-puberty, maybe adolescence and things like that. And all of a sudden now, your eating habits have changed now. Maybe they're drinking alcohol. The stress level is going high because now they're out of college, they have a job, they have family. And so what do I call them is that they are eating food. They don't even know what they ate. If I ask 100 people, my own patients, I say, what did you eat the whole last week? They can't even tell me half the stuff they ate. That means they're what we call them unconscious eating. And that's so dangerous, right? Because they're thinking about something else, they're doing something different, and they're eating away, and they don't even realize how much they ate or what they ate. Well, what do you do? I don't know. I said, they don't know what they did, right? And so that era is what's happening is all those food changes is insulin is spiking. When the insulin spikes, the need for estrogen also increases at the same time. So the body will try to produce more estrogen. And guess what happens when you produce more estrogen? You have all the symptoms of PMS or PMDD or PCOS, all the symptoms kicks in. And the counterbalance is to reduce estrogen levels lower or balance it off with progesterone. Because if you try to reduce estrogen levels down, you don't know how much to bring it down. You really do not know. But if you give the progesterone, the body will kind of adjust it on its own. So instead of taking over the body, telling it, hey, I will give you the hormones I think what you need. And the body goes not so fast.
Yeah.
Just give the progesterone and I'll balance it myself.
It's definitely that seesaw, isn't it, between
that's what the counterbalancing comes in.
Like you said, and boy, does stress make a big difference, especially when you're looking at things like pregnenolone and then, you know, the theory behind that, you know, steal across as well with the cortisol. And obviously then progesterone starts to reduce and obviously that estrogen loves to climb up and then starts to become a little bit more dominant. So, you know, obviously, as you said, there's a huge food piece and insulin here, but there is also a removal of estrogen issue as well through the body, isn't it? So obviously glutathione has a massive part within that as well. So
so what's happening in that sense? So the body's trying to eliminate estrogen out of your system. And what we do not realize that there are a lot of estrogen metabolites that have a lot of activity. And the metabolites are the one that has a risk for cancer. So when you measure the metabolites of estrogens, the reason you're measuring those things is it going towards an easier pathway, which is actually cancerous, or is it going towards the most difficult pathway, but it's much more safer? You will choose a difficult pathway only if your diet is full of methyl donors, like cruciferous vegetables, right? If you have enough methyl groups in your diet, the body says, okay, I have enough of those groups, methyl donors. I can use that ingredient and push the estrogen towards a more safer route so it doesn't cause cancer. But if your diet does not have that, then it's going to push the easier route, and that's more cancerous to us. So it's not the estrogen itself it's a problem. It's which path does it choose to get rid of it from the body. And everything goes through the urine eventually. And so making sure that the urine pathways are also activated. We have to make sure the liver is activated, make sure the kidneys are activated, and everything has to everything has to flow out of the system.
Absolutely. Right?
So making understanding those concepts is also very critical.
The Dutch test, because then we can see the 14-OH and we can see all the different, you know, CYP pathways that are going on and actually measure that. And it's good for the clients to actually see that and go, oh, wow, look, I'm at risk. I need to make action now. Like, this is serious. I need to be pushing down a different pathway, as you said, change diet, change detoxification strategies, change methylation, you know, by supporting the body in different ways, we can get this, these pathways more activated and shifting down the right way. So yeah, and it is, it's this preventative space where we're looking at, you know, that there could be an outcome later on for these particular clients that is not ideal. And yet right now there's a point in time where you can change that direction of where you're wanting to go down for your health. So yeah, absolutely. So important. I want, before we dive into glutathione, which I want to so desperately, but I just want to step back quickly to the male side of things, because I get asked this a lot. And I think what I want to clear up here is the testosterone piece, because, and you explained it beautifully, but what sort of levels are we looking at? Because obviously there's a big talk around, you know, optimal ranges, where we should, and we all know that there is a decline, and we know that this is diet and sugar and stress and environment and exposomics, all the toxins, you know, everything that we're looking at. But, you know, how should males be monitoring this? And therefore, you know, also from my point of view, I think delivery methods, there's so many different ways that we can be delivering these hormones. So for both males and females, as a pharmacist and from your compounding experience, like what have you found, you know, in terms of for certain people, certain types, certain delivery methods working over others? So that would be also wonderful if you could talk about that.
So that's a big question. I'm going to decipher for you for very systematically. So just to give you some perspective, since 1996, I've been seeing patients and helping them with the medication needs. I work with over 10,000 physicians all over the United States. I've probably seen over a million patients in my lifetime. And so just sort of give you some perspective of the breadth of cases I've seen and how much I've helped them. And so when you talk about Dutch tests, I want to talk about that as well for you, understanding what the numbers mean to you and achieving optimal ranges and this, yeah. The question that you asked me is a very, very impactful question. So let's start now. First of all, there is no such thing as normal levels. I just want to make people understand that part. When people say that your levels are low, yes, they could be low. If your levels are high, they could be high. We do not know for sure what's your normal and what your high is, right? At the same time, what a normal for 20-year-old testosterone level for a 20-year-old male is different than if you are an 80-year-old male. At the age of 80, if you have a level of a 20-year-old person, we do not know if we have all the other systems activated enough to deal with the testosterone levels so high, and is it going to be enough for us, or is it detrimental to our health or not? So understanding this parameters is going to be very critical because, again, I know Mark very well, the CEO of Dutch Test, and we have numerous conversations back and forth because even he recognized that even with the Dutch Test, what's the ideal number that we want to hit? Because we do not know what the ideal number is, because at that number, what are we looking for? Are we looking for symptom relief? Are we looking for cardiovascular protection? Are we looking for brain health? Are we looking for osteoporosis protections? Mm-hmm. What are we trying to achieve with hormone replacement therapy? If you do not have a goal to achieve, number is not a goal. Number is there to get there. But once you get there, what are you going to do with it? It's like, oh, I have a goal to make $1 million. And then what? If you do nothing with it, getting $1 million is not going to do anything for you. But if I have a goal to, let's see, I want to feed 1 million people. Mm-hmm. Okay, in that case, I need $10 million. That's a good goal to have. Then, because the goal is to feed people, not to make money. And so having a hormone level is very high, mm-hmm. but you have zero plan to use it, it's a disaster for you, because all the excess testosterone in men is going to convert into DHT or into estrogens, going to give you prostate cancer, cause you prostate enlargements, or causes alopecia, gynecomastia, all kinds of symptoms can kick in, right? Because the body does not have places to store these products. It has to be given at a particular time when it needed. It has to be getting rid of it at the time when this job is done. And there's no way to store these hormones inside your body. Storage means the body has to deal with it. And the body only knows one thing to deal with it. Try to dismantle it, compartmentalize it, and try to protect it or store in the fat cells, which makes you bulkier, or try to get rid of it through the kidneys. What are processes? The body's trying to do that part all the time. And if it does it efficiently, guess what you do? Oh my God, your hormone levels are not rising. I'm going to double up your dose. Well, wait a second. The body's just trying to figure out what to do with it, and now you're doubling the dose? What symptoms are you looking at it? So I say this thing is very critical because I learned this when I started dealing with glutathione patients. Right, and we will talk about glutathione for sure, because this piece is going to be very critical when we talk about glutathione, because that's when it dawned on me. I said, "Oh my goodness, I am not worried about the hormone levels. What I'm worried about is the outcomes. If you're a guy, and if hey, I want to build a muscle mass, okay, how much do you exercise? Well, I don't exercise much, but I do this and that. I said, for that much, you don't need any testosterone." If it says this much, I'll give you this much testosterone. You use it up, and if it brings muscle mass to you, great. If it doesn't bring muscle mass, if I give you more, it's going to harm you more than helping you. And I have patients that I have given them testosterone, and initially they worked really good for them, and they fall off the wagon, and they stop doing the right things, and boy, they hit the wall. High fat content, less muscle mass, heart gets bigger, so cardiomegaly is an issue for them, memory loss is an issue, prostate is getting enlarged, goodness. And they cannot stop taking the testosterone. Mm-hmm. So that's for the guys, okay? That's for the guys. Talk about the female, it's a whole different story, right? Because the females, the good thing about females is you can sense the balance. If the patients are feeling good, you don't care what the hormone levels are. Hey, I feel fantastic. Yep. Don't touch it. Mm. Do not touch anything that I'm doing right now. I'm feeling fantastic. But what happens is that we go brave when patients turn to menopause. Because in menopause, people have a lot of complaints. And with a lot of complaints, we can tell them, we can educate them, but they don't have the brain capacity to think at that time. And so what we do is we shut them up and they give you a prescription. Hey, take this hormone, you're going to feel better. And if you say, oh, thank God she left, right? But in reality is that it is not going to help them.
It is.
Right? We are talking this jokingly right now, but it's the reality, right? I do it all the time too. When patients call me, like even today, I was on the call right before we started talking. And just to tell, okay, I'll talk to you tomorrow, right? I say, just take this hormones a little bit extra, I'll talk to you tomorrow. I know it's not going to be their full answer, but at least she got at least she thought that we are helping her. But in reality, it's not going to help her today.
Too late when she
does. I'm sorry. I hope she doesn't listen to this podcast. But just in case, if she does, right? So I just want people to understand that part. With hormone balancing, we do all that. We do Dutch tests. We can do saliva tests. We can do blood tests. It doesn't matter what testing you do. All I'm trying to do is trying to see, are the hormones in a proper ratio? There's no magic number. By the way, there's only one number that has ever been proven in the history of hormone replacement therapy. Is the estradiol level of between 60 and 110 has shown improvement in your heart health, your brain health, and your bone health. Only one level, between 60 and 110, is the only thing in your blood cell, in your blood test, right? Mm-hmm. Picograms per milliliter or deciliter, sorry. So if that level is okay, there's a protection against those three conditions. Everything else, there's no studies ever proven to us that this at this level, the protection is there. Now, at what age? Is it for young people? Is it for old people? Right? At what age does it kick in? And so to me, I like that, but don't get me wrong. We test why? Because if you don't, people do not see any problem with them, they're not going to change. There's no incentive for them to change. If I never see myself in the mirror, I think I have a full set of hair. But if I see oh my God, I'm bald. I need hair, right? And then he goes, oh my God, what am I going to do about it? Yeah. If we do not know that part, then you're not going to do anything about it. And so that's one of the reasons why we do testing is to push people to say, make a change. You know, you've been misbehaving on this one. Are you willing to make a change? You come 70%, change your diet and your stress. I'll give you the hormones. And with those two things combination, I can help you with that part. So I just want people to understand that when you do testings, there's no magic numbers. You do, my dad, at the age of 85, his testosterone level was close to 750. Supposed to be 200. Supposed to be 200. And I was giving him testosterone at a very, very low dose. I was giving him female doses of testosterone between 1 and 5 milligrams per day. That's a female doses. Even with that dose, the body says, what am I going to do? There's nowhere to use it. So the body was storing the testosterone levels. His levels rose up to 750. A 750 to a teenager is, oh my God, bring it on. I'm going to bring a whole bunch of muscle mass, right? And for my dad, 85, had flabby skin, not enough muscle tone.
Yeah.
And so number is not the goal.
Yeah.
Outcomes. Outcomes is what we shoot for. Okay? So I just want people to understand that part. So please do not let go of the power that you have to make a change to a blood test, to a doctor, to a pharmacist, to anybody. You listen to us just for the gain of the knowledge, but you are in control of your own health.
Absolutely.
What are you willing to do?
That you have just said all of that, Nayan, because it is something that I try to clearly communicate to my clients and students And it is really hard because we get so tempted by all the shiny things. It's same with the peptides, like they're there to give something to then you take action at the same time or as well, or even sometimes instead of, like you said. And it is about the balance, but it is very different for every person, as you say. And then the outcome, it's beautifully clear. I couldn't have said it better, and I can't even summarize better. Yeah. Yes.
Can I give me 2 minutes on peptides right now? I want people to understand peptides, because 26 years ago, I introduced peptides in California to my patients. 26 years ago, nobody knew what peptides were. Nobody knew peptides. I did not know what peptides were. I used to call them hormones. LHRH, GnRH, TRH, corticotropin, ACTH, melanotin 1, melanotin 2, PT141. I dealt with all these different things, right? And by 2013, I shut everything down. And there's only one reason. Yes, I did not have any problems with it, but there were no outcomes. The outcomes were not measurable enough to make a change, right? And so what I learned, two things. One is, peptides are signaling molecules. That means it tells your body what to do. The body needs to be told what to do when it's younger, right? If you have a teenager in your house, what does he or she tells you? Mom, I got this. And you know very well, no, you don't.
Yeah,
you have absolutely no idea. You have no idea what you have got this or not, right? You do this instead. And so the message is crystal clear what they have to do, even though they don't want to listen to you, but you have to get the message across somehow. That's what peptides are. Peptides are a messenger. I'm 54 years of age right now. If my dad tells me what to do, am I going to believe him? Dad.
I can't know
what to do, right, at this point. If I have not figured out by this time, you know, but what I do not know is spiritual growth, right? Because that's not something that I've dove into them that much. My dad is spiritually very, very high. So I listened to him about that portion, and I got no problem with that part. But everything else, Dad, I got it, right? Or your mom. Imagine your mom living in your house telling you what to do. Jody, do this. Jody, do this. You don't need to do that.
Yeah.
Say, Mom, I got this. I do this every single day. Come on. I don't have to take care of my kids. I don't know what to do next, right? But that's what peptides are, telling the body what to do. They don't do anything themselves. So it's a signaling molecule, right? GLPs is made in your gut. Oh, by the way, oh God, thank God. All those peptides that we're working with are all made in your stomach. GLP, epamorlin, tesamorlin, somorolin, CJCs, AODs, and BPC-157s, all these things are made in your stomach, right? How much are we taking the antacids or H2 blockers or acid reflux medications? We have no stomach acid production happening. Guess what? Mm-hmm. What are the chances of a stomach is making peptides? Zero. That's the problem. It's not that a body's missing it. Maybe it's missing a little bit. But there's so much other things inside the body as well. Now, whatever peptides is produced is enough for us. But it's like a teenage party. Have you been to a teenage party before? No, you have not.
Yeah.
But when you go to a teenage party, how loud is the music? It's loud. So when you talk to your friends, do you whisper or do you shout? You shout, right? You have to shout, right? Now, you shout because why? Because there's too much noise in the room or in the building. So the reason you need peptides is why? Because there's too much noise in the body. If there's too much noise in the body, you take peptides to improve the volume. Well, there's two ways to do it. When you improve the volume at your teenage party, what happened the next day? You have a sore throat. If you do that for 2 or 3 days in a row, I can assure you, you won't be able to speak for the rest of your life. Imagine going to 3 concerts in a row, in 3 days in a row, where you just shout and scream every day. By the fourth day, you're done. You can't speak at all, right? That's what the body's doing every single day. There's too much noise in the body.
Yes, that's what
and
I was going to say.
That's where the glutathione comes into peace now, because glutathione is actually the only thing that a body produces to reduce the noise. So instead of increasing the volume of the peptides, you bring the noise down. When you bring the noise down, the body starts healing itself. The message is there. The body wants, by the way, do you think the body does not know what to do? If you make a cut over here, the body goes, I don't want to do this cut. Do I heal? Do I fix? Or just put a bandaid on there? Because if you put a bandaid on, I'm going to heal it now. No, it doesn't. It can do what it wants to do every single day until the rest of your life. Right? So the question is, the body knows what to do.
For sure.
Humans, we are getting in the way. Really. We are trying to take care of the body. You set aside, I got this. I'll take care of it. The body goes, looks at you. Really? You got this thing?
I've got evolution.
You have the foggiest
idea this thing
what to
is.
Do next. Right? And so I just want to make sure that the only thing we can do is reduce the noise down and let the body heal itself.
Absolutely. So let's
that's where the glutathione
dive into
comes into place.
Now, you have an incredible company. You've come up with a very unique delivery system for glutathione. So I will let you divulge all this detail because I don't want to say it wrong to spoil it.
So first of all, glutathione is a tripeptide. It's the most abundant molecule produced in the human body. And if you know anything about the human body, there's no spare parts in the human body. None. Everything is there for a purpose, right? So if the body produces the most abundant molecule in the body is glutathione, there must be a purpose for it. Even we may not know all the purposes, but there is a purpose for it, right? So far we identified two different things that the body does, the glutathione does for us. One, it quenches all the free radicals. Because free radicals, we breathe oxygen, it's a charged molecule, it needs to be neutralized after the work is done. The oxygen comes into the body, it supports the mitochondria to produce energy, and it's like the car. When you produce energy, there's an exhaust fume coming out. Imagine the fume goes back in your car. You'll be dead, right? Carbon monoxide poisoning. That's what it calls poisoning, right? So that's what's happening. Somebody has to neutralize that poison. That's what glutathione does. So that's one thing. The second thing glutathione does is that, because it's not just the electrical waste that is produced. We also have chemical waste, which is the liver helps get rid of all the chemicals we're exposed to. So the main thing that glutathione does, it aids a process called conjugation. That means it attaches itself to the chemical, make it water soluble so you can pee it out. And so those two things are the number one and number two job of every human being's every single second of your life. Without those two jobs taking care of it, the body has nothing else to do. If those things are taken care of it, guess what? Oh my God, the body can fix anything you got. And so having glutathione is a luxury, absolute luxury, because we are misbehaving every single day. We're exposing ourselves to fumes and chemicals and toxicity and out in the sun bathings and all kinds of worst of all, we know alcohol is so bad for you. A single drink of alcohol can deplete glutathione levels for 4 hours. Yeah. And there's absolutely zero benefits of alcohol. Zero. They thought that one glass of wine is going to prevent from heart disease. They just got linked to seven cancers. Direct link to seven cancers with alcohol. Cigarette only has one cancer, lung cancer. Alcohol is seven. Think about it, how dangerous alcohol is. And you try to have the government rule it out to make alcohol illegal. Oh my God, there'll be worldwide riots every day, everywhere, right? And so we cannot change that part, but we can educate people, let them know that, hey, the choice is yours, right? So for me, the thing is, it's not about what glutathione does for you. It's actually what is glutathione allowing your body to do? To me, that is more powerful, because glutathione can only do two things. But by doing those two things, the body can repair, rejuvenate, regenerate, do every single thing. And as long as you have no diseases, I can assure you the body can fix itself. Because I can tell you a story about my father. And at the age of 80 plus, I was able to, with 40 years of diabetes, 35 years of arthritis and blood pressure issues, and having, in 10 years, he had 13 overseas trips. He was single. My mom passed away a long time ago, so he was single. 13 overseas trips. He went to hiking trips. He went to Australia, New Zealand. He went to the Glacier Mountains over there on his own, okay? He just picks up bags and just leaves, right? He goes to India every single year. He goes to Africa. He just travels the world. Mm-hmm. And before that, he was not doing anything besides just staying in the house. And so even at the age of 80, the body started healing itself. And so my hope for everybody is that stop looking for a product or a solution that's going to come your way, that's going to fix your problem for you. Empower your own body to do it for you. Trust me, the body wants to do the right thing. Do the number one, number two job, which is the antioxidant and the conjugation pathway. Put the right food in your mouth, water, clean food, whole foods. Make sure you sleep 8 hours per day. Stop eating the poisons. And see, just experience how fast the body starts healing itself. Absolutely. And so you can enjoy the body for the rest
like
of your life.
Like you say, it's a luxury. It's the gold piece that we need, that we're missing, you know, in a lot of this. And it can come down so simply, like you say, we get all caught up in the shiny objects on all of the top, but that bottom of the pyramid is where it's at. And this is that, you know, also the glutathione piece, where we miss the key things that actually make our body do what it needs to do, and also trust in it that it's doing what it needs to do as well. So very, yeah.
Well, the thing is, for it to do, I forgot to say, I know you did ask me the question about the delivery system. For it to do, like, for example, peptides. If it's a signal, can I give you a call? You're in Australia, I'm in California. Yeah. We're talking here right now, right? Guess what? We can talk about this thing. As if we're just right next to each other right now. We can do that part. Before I ask you, say, Jody, can you check my pulse? You can't. You have to be here in present in front of me to do it, right? So glutathione, so peptide, if you think about peptides, like GLPs or for the weight loss, it tells a signal to the brain to stop eating. You can do from anywhere, right? You can go from the stomach, go from the kidneys, go from anywhere. You can send a message. Glutathione is actually conjugating and neutralizing the free radical. It has to be inside your cells. It cannot be outside telling your body, hey, go and do that. No, body goes, go get yourself inside and fix it. You do it yourself. So the glutathione has to be inside your cell membrane for it to do. And that's our technology that we developed to get inside your cell membrane. The first in the world. We have 14 patents right now approved worldwide. And unfortunately, it's a topical product, unfortunately, because that was not my goal. I'm not that smart to design whatever you want. I am not that smart, okay? I'm just smart enough to understand how the body is going to respond to it. And I saw that, observed it in my lab, and said, oh my God, this is a topical product. Topically, I can apply it on skin, smells really bad, like rotten eggs, and it's sticky as hell. And you just apply, and once you rub it in, it goes inside your cell membrane. And when you smell, there's no smell. The stickiness goes away too. And so when I realized that part, the body is not roses from inside. The funky smell is gone inside your cell membrane, and the job is done instantaneously. And so, yes, I follow the science. It is a topical product. It absolutely works. The smell will go away. The sickness will go away once it gets inside your cell membrane. And once it gets there, all I can tell you is that what you're doing now is you're freeing the body up to do what it's supposed to, what it's designed to do for you.
It's a big discussion, isn't it? Because most of delivery methods are oral, and it is a very hard thing. Well, it's hard to get it in.
Even IVs doesn't get in. Even the IVs, if it's injected in your bloodstream, it doesn't get in ever. It stays in the plasma. The kidney filters the plasma every 5 to 15 minutes, and all the glutathione is in the urine. Just because the body wants it, the body is not just going to take it, right? So I had to literally develop a system where I put the glutathione inside, put a covering on it, so the body can suck it up, the covering, and inside was glutathione. When I did that part, when I got it inside your cells, whoa. Literally, whoa.
Yeah.
And by the way, this was discovered in 2007. It took me 14 years of research trying to figure out how much to give you, how often to give you, how long can I give it to you? Am I going to get side effects? Am I going to get benefits? Am I going to get endless benefits? Am I going to get short-term benefits? Mm. Oh, my God. I have so many questions. So many questions. And so after 14 years of research, I finally decided to release the product to the public because the best thing was I couldn't contain myself on how many people it was benefiting. So my book, The Glutathione Revolution, is really a revolution because understanding what it can do for you is mind-boggling. I get cases every single day, and when doctors get so frantic, I say, "Oh my God, did you know that?" I said, "Yes, I did know that part." "Oh my God, why did you jumping up and down?" I said, "I was jumping up and down."
Yeah, and it's all in the book as well. And I read your book a couple of years ago, actually, and I need to go back and revise it. Yeah, so, you know, and it's beautiful to now be here and speaking with you and actually hearing about, you know, this amazing product that you have created. And to 100% tell you the truth, I've not tried the topical delivery system. And so the way that I look at or in my clinic, the easy access for me is an acetylcysteine. So we use that quite a lot as more of that precursor to get that in. But a lot of clients, from my perspective, actually still need the direct mechanism and direct glutathione support. So, and I shy away from every other method because I haven't seen the success. But I just need to get it in. That's all I need to do. It's just one of those things.
That's it. Well, NAC works. Yeah. NAC is the only approved medication in the whole world, by the way. Even FDA has approved NAC for improved glutathione levels. Mm. But the problem is it can never raise your level high enough. Because to make glutathione, you need NAC, two more amino acids, which is a glycine and glutamine, needs two molecules of enzymes to put this to conjugate those two peptides together, two ATP and one NAD. What if you have low energy? Your body cannot produce glutathione. You can have all the building blocks. It's like having all the lumbar and the drywalls and the nails, but no people. Yeah. Well, the house is not going to make it by itself. You need the labor force, right? So that's what the issue with the NAC is. It works. It does work. But your levels are never. You can take as much as you want.
You mentioned about how often, what works, when to apply, et cetera. Maybe just a summary version, and then
very briefly. Yes. So basically, what I learned was everybody asked me, "Say, do I test my glutathione levels?" Mm. I said, "Stop testing it." I've done thousands of tests in my life, and everybody is either normal, subnormal, high, normal. Doesn't really matter. What matters is that oxidative stress are high in everybody. After the age of 28, 29, it's high. I don't care who you are. Everybody has it. So what we figured out is how much does a body produces every single day? And if I can replace about 90% of that every single day, not 100%, 90%. Mm-hmm. If I can do that part, oh my God, my job is done. What if I just give you 85% and make sure that you have a good diet, which I tell everybody. So my book has a diet plan in there. It's a 14-day plan to boost your glutathione levels. That's a marketing plot. Don't fall for it. It's a lifelong plan for me. It's not a 14-day plan. It's a lifelong plan. That's my diet every single day. Exactly. So don't fall for it. But if you did fall for it, shame on you. It's my lifelong plan. So the glutathione levels, what we figured out in this delivery system, if I give you roughly about 100 to 115 milligrams, that's all you need to sustain your glutathione levels for the next 4 to 6 hours. Right? If I do it twice a day, I think I get a good amount of coverage throughout the day. Not 100%, but pretty good. But if you combine that with lifestyle modification and proper eating habits, oh my God, you are putting this glutathione on absolutely pedestal. And you're making the body it work so much more efficiently. So having a proper diet plan and sleeping plan and a drinking plan of water only, improve the glutathione levels with glutaryl and just using 4 sprays twice a day of 100 milligrams each, all of a sudden, you are never going to go overboard. Your glutathione levels are going to be just the right amount, never going to be high enough, and it is going to always be less than what your body needs. Because if you get more than what your body needs, it's actually not good for you. Because you can literally make your body in the reductive state, and that's a whole other podcast. That reductive state body is actually, that is not healthy for you. So more is not better. I just want people to understand that part. Having the right amount and doing other things to support this thing is the most is the best way to enhance vitality and longevity in your life. And I'm a living proof of it. I've been 14 years ago when I first discovered it, I was taking about 40 vitamins per day. I'm down to 1 right now. I do take glutathione every single day, but it's been 6 years. So I've been taking it every single day. Once in a while, I miss a day here and two, but nothing crazy. I never miss taking myself. And my life, my overall vitality has just gone crazy. I'm 54. When I was in my 20s, guess what the birthday party over the hill party was? If you're 40, you're over the hill. Oh my God, you only have diabetes and blood pressure issues? Oh, thank God. By this time, people had heart attacks and all kinds of other diseases. And I refuse to take those answers nowadays. Now I have friends in the 60s with zero diseases. Absolutely. That's the way I want everybody to enjoy it.
The application area, does it matter? I know I like the details, as you can tell.
No, we've done 2 human trials. One apply on the arms, one apply on the belly. The thin skin, thick skin has nothing to do with the fat layer at all. I just want access to the skin cells. Under the stratus corneum, the skin cells direct connection. It goes straight to the skin cells, and there's a delivery system from cell to cell transfer. Delivery system using the lipid rafts is what we use to transport it. We're not using blood streams and things like that. That's why if you measure the blood levels of glutathione, it doesn't show anything. I don't care. It's going from cell to cell transfer. In fact, one of the neurosurgeons over here in the United States did a brain scan, applied on the arms, and within minutes, they saw the brain lit up with all the glutathione levels. So there's a cell to cell transfer that's already happening. So that's that's a whole different science that we haven't even delved into that part yet because we thought it's a bloodstream or the lymphatic systems and that's it. And now there's another delivery system? Wait a second. That's not approved. That's not been studied yet. So it's too early at this point. We have some human trials going on right now. We're looking for some funding through the NIH. So the government is funding some of the projects that we are working on. And hopefully we'll have some answers in the next 3 to 4 years more. I'm not giving up. Everything I make, everything I do, I'm putting back into research, more research, because I need to figure this thing out before I die. And when I do that part, the next generation gets to enjoy them.
I am now very excited to have it in clinic. So now, we could be talking about this forever. I feel like, an hour is just not cutting it. And obviously that we could do a full podcast on just glutathione, as you said. But I appreciate the way that you explain things and your clarity and how you can, tell stories and the analogies. It just really helps to digest and integrate the information. So I really, really appreciate and your perspective. It really is very refreshing.
Thank you so much. People can follow me at oralwellness.com. But it's AURO wellness.com. But I'm hoping that you'll have them in your stock in your office so people can just pick up locally from you, which much easier
from shipping to the US back to Australia. So I like to be some of these times where I'm the first one for a lot of the products because I like pushing the edges and I'm always in the US. So I do enjoy that as well.
Of course.
Thank you so much for your time today, Nayan. It's just been an absolute pleasure. And my brain has been lit up and now I'm so much more curious about all of this, as it always happens on podcasts like these. And I would love to get you back in the near future and to maybe even hear about the trials and how the funding went for you as well.
Thanks for listening to the Revital Health Podcast. We hope you enjoy this episode. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Revital Health, as well as our website, revitalhealth.com.au, for upcoming podcasts, workshops, and speaking events. Find out about specials happening in the clinic and all the show notes and links mentioned in the podcast. Please remember that this information discussed here is general information and is not intended to diagnose or treat individuals. Please speak to your healthcare professional before embarking on any new treatments, lifestyle changes, medicines, or supplementation to assess your suitability. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you again soon.